can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. We gon' take it back to the future, over the top. E.T., Gremlins, RoboCop. Bring it back a couple minutes to when I was 10. Dusting off my favorite movies, gonna watch them again. Then VHS, yeah, we'll give it a crack. Do they hold up? Are they totally whack? Brock and Alexa, give it a play. Tell you to rewind it, throw it away.
Hello and welcome to You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. This is the show where we watch our favorite movies from our childhood. Then we discuss, dissect, and decide, do we still like them, and would we rewind them and watch them again? I am Alexa.
I am Brock.
And we have a very special Christmas movie.
1988, rated R, Die Hard.
I guess, is it debatable? I've seen it kind of debatable whether it's a Christmas movie or not.
It's a Christmas movie. Okay. I mean, it's an action movie, but a Christmas action movie.
All right, gotcha.
All right, so...
I've never seen this before. I just want to throw that out.
So I've seen this one time back in the day on VHS. And I liked it, but it wasn't a huge movie for me.
Okay. So you were happy to revisit it.
I was actually excited about seeing this again to see if I would enjoy it.
Here's something. I got to make a confession.
Oh.
And I didn't tell you this during the movie, but I might have laughed out loud, I don't know. But as we're watching the movie, and we're probably about, I don't know, 20 minutes in at least, I'm like, where does the other guy come in?
You're thinking Lethal Weapon?
Yeah, I'm like, is he going to be at the party? I'm like, where's Danny Glover? How's he going to meet up with this guy? I know, I'm so dumb.
That's pretty good, though.
Yes.
Similar action comedy. I can see it.
Yeah.
So, a synopsis for this movie. John McClane, officer for the NYPD, tries to save his wife, Holly Gennaro, and several others that were taken hostage by German terrorist Hans Gruber during a Christmas party at the Nakatomi Plaza in Los Angeles.
I've heard the name Hans Gruber several times.
Yes.
I never recognized that it was from here.
Pretty famous villain. So, in this movie, you have John McClane, the hero, as we'll say. Played by Bruce Willis, who you would know from Pulp Fiction, Sixth Sense, Look Who's Talking, and the amazing Moonlighting.
Never seen it.
You've never seen Moonlighting?
Nope.
You've never seen the TV show Moonlighting?
Nope.
Oh my gosh, my mind is blown.
You watch Moonlighting?
Back in the day, yes, all the time.
Huh. We just learned something about each other. We're right here, right now.
That's how I know Cybill Shepherd. Until Psych, obviously. And then you have his wife, kind of a strange wife, Holly Gennaro McClane, played by Bonnie Bedelia, who was in Presumed Innocent. Then you have the officer.
Is that all she was in? Because I recognize, like, she looks so familiar, and I don't know her from Presumed Innocent.
No, she's in other stuff, but not anything.
Gosh, she looks so familiar the whole time.
I'm sure there's something you know her from, but. Then you have Sergeant Al Powell, played by Reginald Vell Johnson. The dad from Family Matters.
Yep, that's what I know him from. Where he also plays a cop.
Yes, that is true. So, the funny thing is, I don't remember him from the first movie, the first time I saw this. So, he comes in and I'm like, oh, they got the dad from Family Matters. He a little bit part. No, he's in this movie big time.
Yeah, I thought he was just going to be in it for a short amount of time.
Okay, so I wasn't the only one that thought that.
For a second, I thought he might die in the movie. I was like, oh no.
Don't kill the dad from Family Matters.
I know, right?
Deputy Police Chief Dwayne T. Robinson, played by Paul Gleason, who you know as the principal from...
Breakfast Club.
Boom. So I have to mention that Roger Ebert gave this movie a poor review. And he said the main reason was the character of the deputy police chief. He saw it as, like, unnecessary. It didn't really add anything to the story. Like, it slowed down the story. It just was dumb. And later on, he changed his review. But I thought that was interesting. because I didn't understand why he was in this movie either. Like, he really didn't... He didn't further the story in any manner.
Huh, that's interesting.
So then you got Harry Ellis, played by Hart... Bochner? You might know him from an episode of Franklin and Bash, but that would be about it.
Okay. Which guy was he again?
So Harry was the co-worker who does coke in front of the boss, and...
Somehow
that doesn't lose your job. No! Are you serious? He's doing cocaine!
He must be a really good salesman.
Oh yeah, we really need this guy. Even though he's doing cocaine, what are you gonna do? Good sales.
It was the 80s, honey.
Then you have Hans Gruber.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Alan Rickman. Rest in peace. You would know him from Harry Potter and Dogma, which is actually the first thing I saw him in was Dogma. Mm-hmm. I mean, besides this, not realizing he was anyone of importance. What did you think of Hans Gruber as a villain? How do you think Rickman did?
He was a good villain, I thought.
Why?
I just think he has his face. He just looks like he's a mean dude. And he doesn't overdo it.
No, he comes off very callous,
mm-hmm.
but a very subtle job. Like, it's not over-the-top evil.
Right. And when he was trying to pretend like he wasn't the evil dude, he did good at that.
I thought he did great with that.
Hmm.
So the last one I'm going to mention is Carl, one of the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Carl is played by Alexander Godunov, I believe.
Yeah.
Who you would know.
I feel like I figured this out because you asked me earlier and I knew I'd seen him, and I've been racking my brain over this.
What movie is he from?
I feel like he was from Cool Runnings.
Oh.
That he was the German guy. Oh.
You would know him as Max in The Money Pit.
Oh.
Shelley Long's boyfriend.
I was like looking at him as like some, you know, jerk.
No, but if you notice, Ode to Joy was in both movies.
That's crazy.
Money Pit and this one.
I thought he was the German guy. The German villain in the...
No, that's a good guess though.
Darn it.
And Cool Runnings.
Different blonde.
So, this movie starts off with John McClane arriving in California to see his wife. He's heading to her mm-hmm. office for a Christmas party. Nothing could go wrong, right? I mean, it's just a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm. I mean, things have gone wrong at company Christmas parties.
This one's pretty rough, though, I'm going to say.
this is one of the rougher ones.
Yeah, my company, maybe some people got drunk, took some clothes off, but no one...
got punched in the face.
Yeah, a manager got punched in the face.
I will say, like, there's nothing better than a good company Christmas party.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. a lot of alcohol
paying,
and...
the caricature that we have on our Podbean page is from a company Christmas party.
A butt sketch.
Oh, yes. And we got... This must have been popular way back when because I haven't seen it since. But a person would... You would turn around and he would draw, like, the... It's called a butt sketch. It was the back of you.
Yeah, basically the outline of your back and body. It was awesome. It was really funny.
And at the company party, they had a butt sketch artist there, and we got our butt sketch. And if I can find it, I'm going
to
post it.
You need to get that one up, too. I know you got the other one up, but you need to get the butt sketch.
The thing about a caricature is, though, you look at it, like, you think you look good at the party, and then you see that.
Is that what I look like? I thought I looked nice for this party.
So anyway, company parties.
So John McClane arrives at the Nakatomi Tower, which is actually the 20th Century Fox headquarters.
Hey, can I skip before you or go back? Because before he arrives, you encounter the chauffeur, which is just a funny character.
Argyle,
yeah.
Argyle was hilarious.
I liked him. And he took full advantage of having that car phone.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, yes. Well, he took advantage of having the car.
Limo, yeah. He was having a party in that limo, wasn't he?
Well, as McClane goes in, you know, in case things go awry. Obviously not the way it did, but more of awry with his wife. You know, he's going to wait in the parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the back just living it up, has no clue things are going. He's oblivious to everything mm-hmm. until towards the end of the movie.
He's on the phone, which would have been a pretty cool thing back in the day to be. I mean, you know, you loved the car
phone. Oh, I was on the phone, girl.
You were on the car phone.
I was big pimping back in the late
80s,
mid 80s.
You said you weren't allowed to really use it because it was too expensive.
No, my dad's company paid for it, so.
You just called all your friends on it constantly?
Yeah.
Oh.
What else was I going to do?
Oh.
So the Nakatomi Tower, where mm-hmm. the party's taking place, is actually the 20th Century Fox headquarters. The company charged itself rent for the filming of this movie. It was unfinished at the time of the filming.
That is interesting.
I thought that was kind of crazy. And Bruce Willis received $5 million for this role.
Now, well deserved.
So, Bruce Willis is now here. These German terrorists come in. I'm German, they're international terrorists because I don't think they're all German.
No, some of them didn't look foreign even.
No, I mean, there
was... Although it was a very...
eclectic group.
Yes,
I agree. And they do their little quick Navy SEAL in and out. We got this, not in and out, but in. We've got this place on lockdown and... What could go wrong?
They take out the guy in the front. They take out the security guard. They move all their stuff in.
They've disabled the security system. Now they're... The interesting thing is, so these are not political terrorists. The director decided to make this more of a monetary gain than a political thing. Because it's a summer movie, a summer blockbuster. He wanted to be more lighthearted.
You're saying it was a summer movie, but it was a Christmas movie, right?
It was a Christmas movie that came out in July.
Oh, that's weird.
It takes place at Christmas. So is it a Christmas movie? Because it takes place at Christmas, but it came out in July.
That's weird. Why wouldn't they release it more towards the holidays if it was?
I don't. Because I think it's a blockbuster. Summer, yeah, okay. I think it's a summer blockbuster. And it is. It's an action summer blockbuster type movie. Now, speaking of summer blockbuster, the budget was $28 million. Did this movie do well?
I say yes.
Of course it did. $83 million U.S. original run, $140 million worldwide. Not bad on a $28 million investment.
Mm-mm.
The director's original intent was to make this kind of a 1980s super action hero movie. Kind of like, Commando, Predator, that type of thing. But he was kind of bored with that. So that's why they went with Bruce Willis. And he got the role because of Moonlighting. That's what showed them he had the comedic acting chops.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more of the average guy than Arnold, Stallone.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, speaking of, people considered for the role, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Richard Gere, Nick Nolte, Don Johnson, and John Travolta, who was considered washed up at the time.
Wow. The usual suspects.
Oh, yes. Except for there was no Dudley Moore.
Where was Dudley Moore? Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, and also wanted to say
Tom Cruise.
Vel Johnson, who plays Al Powell, the officer, did not meet face-to-face with Willis until towards the end of the movie. Almost like in the movie where they're only talking through radio.
Oh, like that was the director's choice?
That was the director's choice.
That's cool.
So, the terrorists now have everyone on lockdown in the office building, except for there's one rogue guy. And it just happens to be John McClane. So, this is where I get lost. There's two things that really bothered me early on. Is every New York police officer an expert on how elevator shafts work and elevator functions? Like, this dude knew elevators inside and out. He knew how to get in and out of them, what everything did, how... He was MacGyvering everything anyway, but especially the elevator.
I mean, it's possible that he would know more about elevators just because...
New York.
Yeah.
Okay, then why does he know... Why is he an expert on... international clothing and cigarette choices, because he even tells the Al Powell, like, I think they're foreign because they're clothing and cigarettes. Mm-hmm. This dude's an expert on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But the difference between most of those 80s films with, like, Schwarzenegger and Stallone, they were heroes that ran into, you know, they ran into a fight. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to be there. He's the reluctant hero that didn't even want to be at the at the battle.
Right.
He just happens to be stuck there.
Well, he's stuck because he's in the building, but he's in the bathroom.
He's in the bathroom. He's hidden.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, they're rounding everybody up, and he isn't. And so he gets the heck out of that area. And then the story kind of evolves from there. He tries to get help. It doesn't work. And then he realizes he's going to have to take care of business.
So as he's taking care of business, the mm-hmm. second thing that bothered me, does he have to have a full-on dialogue with himself, like an out-loud dialogue? He can't think things out. He's always going to be like, oh, John, you really messed it up now. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you have to talk? Don't you kind of want to be hidden? And no, he's loud as can be, talking to himself. Mm-hmm. He constantly lets you know what's happening as he self-narrates out loud as it's happening.
It's a movie, honey. As you always tell me. Well,
didn't have to.
They want you to, but they want you to hear his inner thoughts.
They want you to connect with him, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I get it, but it just was.
I wonder though if I would talk to myself, like if I was.
Well, I don't think you would do it at full volume, like, oh, crud, it's on now. Here we go.
He's getting himself hyped up. He's getting hyped up.
That's the other thing. If you are being shot at, and do you really have time to be kind of a D-bag about it and make jokes? And
I don't know. It's hard to know what I would do, but I remember at some point turning to you and saying, is this whole movie going to take place in this office building?
Yes.
Because I didn't realize that either. I had no idea. I obviously didn't know that Danny Glover wasn't in it. I didn't know it took place in the office building. Didn't know
Danny Glover was in it or not in it?
Was not in it. Okay. Was not in it. So I did not know as much about this movie as I thought I did at all. Didn't know Hans Gruber was in it. Like, I just went in cold.
Okay, I could see that.
Which was fine.
Was it too violent for you? Because you are sensitive to violence.
I am so sensitive. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
Okay.
So, I mean,
that's a small victory.
That's a small victory. It was watchable.
All right, so Hans Gruber uh-huh. sends his men, Carl and some other guys, after John McClane. So he slowly dispatches these guys one by one. Totally remembered all that.
Well, do you know that he's even there until he kills the first guy, or they hear something? Like, I can't remember now, but
first guy out, and that's when they were kind of alerted something was up.
Well, yeah, but he kind of, I thought it was weird when he sent that body down the elevator, kind of taunting them.
No, I totally agree.
Because I'm not sure they knew really what was going on or that he was there until that.
And was there anything to be gained from it? I mean,
I don't know. That's what I asked you.
It just seemed unnecessary.
That's what I said. Again, why is he doing that?
This guy is brilliant on so many levels. He knows mm-hmm. all these things. Elevators and how to just mm-hmm. MacGyver life through. I mean, he's staying alive this way. Mm-hmm. But yet, he just makes so much commotion as he goes about doing all this. Like,
yeah. It just seems foolish. He makes a lot of mistakes, which is good.
I totally agree.
It's more believable because, you know, he gets hold of the radio.
Yes.
But he's communicating with the radio, but then they can also hear what's going on the radio. So it's kind of like...
Kind of backfires a little bit.
Kind of backfires a bit, which was good, I thought, because it kind of shows he doesn't necessarily have it all together. He's winging it.
He's more of an everyday guy.
Exactly.
Another thing I had issue with, and this was earlier in the movie, were cops in the 80s just allowed to walk on planes with guns like it was nothing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the laws were back then, the 80s, about that. It's a good question. The whole intro was strange, but I'm thinking they did that because they wanted to set up. He's coming from out of town. He's a cop. Like, they were trying to set all that up. otherwise, like, why would you need that? You also got her calling home and setting up the whole thing that they have kids and...
Oh, yeah, they're a family.
And then you see her put the photo down, which is good because...
Actually played a role where, the terrorists don't realize that they're connected. Which, do they even know what John McClane looks like at that time?
No.
It's not later to the movie until Hans Gruber.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Fools him.
I did not remember that part at all, where Hans Gruber gets caught by John McClane, and suddenly he acts like he's an escape party goer and he's American, and...
At what point did he realize he wasn't?
I'm wondering if he knew it from the start.
I don't know if he figured,
I'm never going to... I don't know you. Why would I give you a gun? Why?
That fooled me.
Did he actually... Then why even give him a gun at all? Is it so that that's what he'll use on you and you know it's been disabled? But I just found that odd. I mean, it was definitely a test. And I think Hans Gruber failed kind of miserably. But did not remember that part at all. And then when I'm watching it, when he's like, here, you know how to use this, it's a gun. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how do I not remember this? I mean, it's going to get, oh no.
Good part.
He had figured it out that, or at least we think he had figured out that was not who the person said he was.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the dad from Family Matters. What is his name?
Al Powell.
I liked him.
He's
so likable from the very beginning. You know, he's getting his snacks and he's trying to have just an easy go of it. It's Christmas Eve. He's working on Christmas Eve. That's already crummy. And things are probably slow and he's going to just sit in his squad car, eat some snacks. And then he gets a call that he's got to go check on this and... Which, that was kind of nuts, too, because what person at the dispatch is going to be like, stop abusing this number for that?
I totally agree. Which, by the way, didn't you think that as soon as he was going to check that building and drive off, that his storyline would be over?
Yeah, I thought he was going
to... Or die.
Mosey up there, go in.
They use him effectively.
Everything's fine. You know, everything's good. So I like that. Yeah, I liked his character a lot.
Well, he's believable as a cop.
Yeah.
But he's extremely likable. And you can actually see kind of a bond between him and a guy he's never seen in John McClane.
Yeah.
So actually a good casting choice, I thought.
And he was the only smart one because you have the
two Johnsons from the FBI.
Well, you've got them and you've got the police.
The police deputy chief guy. Yeah. He was an idiot.
He comes in and he just makes all the wrong choices.
Well, and he's just the domineering, I'm in charge, here's how we're doing it, but he's not listening to the officer who's actually in the midst of it, but then whatever, okay.
And then here comes FBI, because it's involving terrorists.
Did we really need the FBI? I mean, I guess because they got the stuff to come in, like the helicopter to come in to rescue them, or that was the idea.
Yeah, and it kind of made it more... It actually complicated matters more
to have
that many chiefs trying to run the show.
Which I'm sure with jurisdiction could be pretty fun out in the field.
Yeah, and right when you think, okay, this deputy guy, he's got to be the dumbest guy. Here comes those two.
And again, it's always arrogance.
Yes.
Hubris is killing these men, or not killing these men, but making them make horrible decisions.
Kill the other two. Kill those.
Johnson & Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But yeah, they make all kinds of bad choices. Something I wrote down is when he had to crawl into the air duct.
Claustrophobia. Yes, so you thought that was worse than the barefoot on glass.
Oh, I don't really like that either, but...
Getting cut by glass just hurts. It sucks. So that, seeing that is just... Seeing him have to go to the bathroom to wash his feet off and pull the glass out, I'm just...
You know,
wincing in pain watching it.
I just figured something out.
Oh, good Lord. Here we go.
Because I was like, what a weird part about that guy talking about how, on the plane, he's like, you need to put your, like, take your toes and put them into a fist and everything.
Yep.
And because of that, that's why he had his shoes off to begin with, or else he would have had his shoes the whole movie.
Yep. He's trying to relax.
Ding, 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 ding.
So the terrorists take the boss. What was the boss's name?
Hans Gruber.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. The boss at work.
Oh.
So the terrorists take out Mr. Takagi.
Takagi.
And so suddenly, you need someone in charge. And of course, Holly Gennaro, John McClane's wife, is in charge. But you know what that scene needs? Some schmoozy, drug-headed co-worker who's like, oh my God, even the way he talked to to Hans was like, so Hans, booby, listen, we're working together here. It's like, oh, he's so slimy.
But you know there's somebody like that in everyone's office.
Of course. I know who it is at my office, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But when he finally gets killed, what a great part. That was one where you're like, not upset he's dead. Not going to miss his character. Not going to miss him. Which, honestly, to that actor, great job, obviously, because you made an unlikable character unlikable.
I just saw that scene going in a totally different direction. I didn't know that he was going to say... I thought he was going to just straight up go in there and give up the fact that he's Holly's husband.
Thank you.
But instead, he tries to claim that that's his friend, and what a dummy.
Thought that was odd, but that's how he was using, like, I got sway over this guy. He's my buddy. Don't worry.
Yeah, that was a bad choice.
Go well for him.
I love the cutaways back to Argyle in the car.
Argyle was comic relief genius. Mm-hmm. Just funny, likable.
I was definitely worried about Argyle.
I was too. I was wondering, is Argyle going to get it? The terrorist going to see him? And
yeah, because he was stuck in the garage.
You're right. Argyle, thank you for living. I'm glad you made it through.
Okay. There's the part where they're moving in this vehicle and the terrorists are like preparing for the assault. Like they're already prepared because they know about it. It's not going to be successful, but the guy's like at the company snack bar and decides he's going to help himself to candy.
Yes.
And he picks Nestle Crunch.
It's
probably the most... Sorry, Nestle Crunch.
Yeah, to all you Nestle Crunch fans, don't be offended, but Nestle Crunch sucks.
Yeah.
There's only one candy bar worse for me than Nestle Crunch, and that's the Hershey bar, just a regular Hershey bar.
Unless it's a s'more.
First of all, just say s'more. Don't say a s'more.
Sorry.
Goofball.
That is what it is, s'more. I know. S'apostrophe.
And it's pretty much just stupid. Totally agree. I actually noticed that too when he grabbed it. I was like, Nestle Crunch, out of everything you could have, Nestle Crunch.
Okay, then.
What are you, Bart Simpson?
They're showing the.
That's Butterfinger, never mind.
Yeah. Never not lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
I know. It was
here comes that truck, and it looks like he's coming from the next town over because it's just like, it's coming down the street, it's coming down the street. It's like, how far away is it?
Yeah.
It's coming. Okay, what do you think of his wife?
For some reason, I did not buy them together. I didn't think they had good chemistry. I mean, I actually liked them
better.
Maybe
that's why they're having problems.
I liked them better when they were apart. Like, I liked when she's like, oh my God, they look really mad. She's like, yeah, it's got to be John. They can't get John. She's like kind of smirking with a smile, but I'm not buying that she's, I don't know. I didn't buy them as a married couple for whatever reason.
It just
didn't have the chemistry, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
You didn't get to see them together for very much, and when they were together, they were kind of at odds until the end.
I mean, in all honesty, the best Bond was John McClane and Sergeant Al Powell.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this movie are those two gentlemen and Hans Gruber. Everyone else is just kind of casualties of the movies. They're in the movie, it's great, but these three guys, it's like John McClane is going after Gruber, but you need Sergeant Al Powell there to kind of forward the story on to us. Mm-hmm. He's kind of the outside ears that's understanding what's happening. Such a famous image of the building, you know, the explosion on top of the building. Because, again, Alan Rickman's thought of everything they're going to do, so... He's not even worried. Oh, they're coming to the roof? Don't worry, we're going to blow it up anyway. Mm-hmm. I've thought of everything. Mm-hmm. And he's a brilliant mastermind, except for he's not the best fighter.
No.
Which, I would say no. Think about it. Everyone of the guys are wearing...
henchmen to do his work.
I say all the henchmen are wearing, like, you know, like suits that are like tactical suits.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he's wearing a business suit. He's rocking up, you know, the executive look.
You know who?
Your Hansgrohe.
He has a party on Christmas Eve either.
Totally agree.
That's kind of weird. Usually it's like a week before. Yeah,
tell my kids, hey, we're going to be late. It's Christmas Eve. Be home with your kids.
Yeah.
So, my love, are you ready to make a judgment?
I'm ready to make a judgment.
Would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
I'm going
to
go first.
Go ahead, my love.
So, never seen this before and didn't know what to expect. I really enjoyed watching this movie. Not usually my type of movie because I'm not into action or violence usually, but I was enthralled by this movie and very invested in what was going to happen. And I liked the fact that it had this Christmas theme throughout. I think it made it more interesting. And I thought, man, how have I not seen this already? I don't know if this makes me want to see the other ones because I feel like they're just going to try to up the ante in every single one and maybe it will be either more ridiculous, more violent. I don't know. But anyway, as far as this movie goes, I liked it. And I am giving this a rewind. An enthusiastic rewind.
Mm-hmm. All right. So obviously I've made some kind of minor complaints earlier on about this movie.
Yeah, you're griping big time.
But in all honesty, those are minor complaints. This movie, I was totally into it. It's fun. It's very well written. It's very well cast. Yeah, you could do without a couple people probably in the movie or whatever, but who cares? Very fun movie. I do want to see the sequels because of this. So, for me, this is a rewind. And that makes Die Hard. I'd rewind it harder.
You would?
Yeah.
You give it a hard rewind?
A hard rewind.
Sweet. So, yes. Here we have it. A double rewind for Die Hard.
Die Hard.
The original. And you can follow us on social media. We have a Facebook page. You can rewind it. At Twitter, you can rewind it. We're on Instagram. You can rewind it. Also, we have an email. You can rewind it at gmail.com. And remember, just because you can rewind it doesn't mean you should.
Thanks for listening. Roger Ebert gave this movie a negative review. Sorry. Are you ready?
Yes, sorry.
All right. Roger Ebert gave this movie a negative review. Okay, here we go.
Roger Ebert.
Okay, so I gotta mention that Roger Ebert gave this movie... Are you kidding me right now?
You can rewind it. 3, 2.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother. We're working together here.